It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store here in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street, next to the Delta Bike Project. A lot of people ask me, where are you located? Where are you located? And I try to describe it. And I'm like, it's Google. Google it. We're there. It's real easy. But anyway, 558 St. Francis is where we are. And we're a block off of Dauphin, where Wenzel's is. So it's pretty easy. You can't miss it. Orange stucco building. There's surprisingly few buildings in Mobile that are, you know, bigger than three stories. So, you know, we sort of stand out. Anyway, that's our sad little sky rise there. But anyway, our phone number is 251-255-5155. And our website is www.cannabama.com, C-A-N-N-A-B-A-M-A. So now that we've got that little spiel over with, I want to bring up a couple things real quick, just in case you're following things. We had court today for the gentleman who twice robbed us and got up early this morning. Angelie had to be a witness, and so Isaiah and I got up and got dressed. I had to get dressed fully for court before 6:30 in the morning so I could take my daughter to school and get to court by 8:30. And luckily, I bothered to speak to the prosecutor before it started, who told me they were about to reset the date. So we had sat there for about a half hour, and then we went to Waffle House, because what else do you do 2 hours before the store opens? So anyway, I don't really know what's going to happen with that. We did not stay to hear everyone's traffic violations and class three felonies. We just left, so I don't know when the new date is, but it was not today. So I don't believe the gentleman has ever bonded out, so he's just going ahead and serving a little time. So yay him. Anyway, our windows are fixed. That's all that matters. Anyway, so coming up tomorrow night, I know I've mentioned it a couple times, but we are going ahead and beginning our planning for our next 420 event, which will, you know how many people ask me, when's it going to be? I'm like, really? 420? April 20th. It's not just a number, folks. It's a date. Anyway, I get a lot of good giggles out of that. Anyway, so we're going ahead and planning 420 for 2023. And, you know, I know a lot of people were hesitant to get on board last time or to spend any money to help us promote it or anything like that. I met a ton of people who thought it was fake, that it was a big hoax, or that they were going to get in trouble, that the cops were going to come and raid us. I'm like, nope, the cops were there with us. Mm. We wouldn't do anything that crazy. But we like to push the envelope. We do not want to go downtown in bracelets. So anyway, but we're having a planning meeting at Cannabama tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And so this is for anybody who would like to get information on becoming a corporate sponsor, a vendor, if you have a small business of any kind and you want to come and set up a booth and sell your stuff or promote yourself. Anybody that's, you know, got a social justice organization, an advocacy organization, I don't care if it's domestic abuse or, you know, pediatric cancer. If you have a cause and you want to get in front of the people of Mobile to raise support or to raise awareness, we would love to have you. If you're running for an office of any type, even though I know we're all burnt out on running for office these days. But, you know, lots of people are going to be coming down there, and it would be a great opportunity to get – every time I do a pop-up somewhere, I whether or not I make very much money, which I usually don't, I get a lot of crazy looks and a lot of pss, 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 as they walk by. But it puts me in front of people that would maybe not know we exist somehow, or maybe have used other businesses, or just been curious and not been anywhere. And it gives me an opportunity in an environment that they're comfortable with to speak to them. And so it's always a good decision. And I sell something that's controversial. So if you don't, it's super easy for you. But anyway, we're going to have food vendors. And I think this year we've decided, because we've gotten so many great musicians and bands in our little catalog now, that we're going to have auditions. So if you are a musician or in a band and you would like to perform at 420, you know, be looking at our Facebook. You can come to this meeting or any of the other meetings we're going to plan in the future. I think we've decided in January we will hold auditions. It'll be sort of a ticketed event, like a competition. And we will choose however many musical acts we decide that we have enough time for. And of course, it will be a paying gig. So, you know, we're going to pay you if you perform. We did last year. I wrote a lot of checks. But anyway, so tonight, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Canabama in downtown, if you want to be a sponsor, vendor, or volunteer, if you were involved last year and you want to be involved again, we're going to give first right of refusal on a few things to the people who took a chance on us last year. So that'll be tomorrow at 7 p.m. at Canabama. So come join us for that. If you can't come and you want information, you can email us at 420-420-BienvilleSquare@gmail.com, or you can email me, Jennifer@canabama.com. So that is that. Welcome to the show tonight, Mr. Charlie Wyckoff and Mr. Joe Dozier.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are y'all?
Good. I'm good.
Always good to see you.
I went home and fully dressed, took a nap sitting straight up. Because I was like, dang it, I worked so hard this morning to look nice for court, and I'm exhausted. So I went home, and I was like, Isaiah, we don't have to tell anybody that we no longer are obligated for the whole morning. Let's go eat Waffle House and go take a nap. And I did. I sat straight up in a chair and slept.
That's some of the best sleep you can get.
I'm telling you, I passed out. I'm getting old. I nap so much.
Don't talk old. I get in trouble when I do that.
I have really, really started enjoying nap time.
Yeah, it changes around 50. When you start getting 60, naps are required.
Right. No, my father-in-law was the king of naps. Yep. That's funny. But yeah, I will straight up pull into a parking lot and throw the seat back and sleep. Well, welcome to the show, guys. Obviously, we're getting very close to election time, so we want to sort of have a continuation of our previous conversation during the last show that you guys were at, and we don't have a lot of time before the break, so how about we start with the cookout?
Yes.
Let everybody know.
Yes, tell them, Joe.
Man, we are so ready for this,
this
cookout.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Look, this is going to be, to my knowledge, the biggest Libertarian Party event that's ever been held in Mobile. And that's going to be October the 28th, this Saturday, from 11 to 5. Man, let me tell you, we're going to have hamburgers, hot dogs, gumbo. Man, who don't like gumbo?
Right?
Pasta lie, you know, Cajun food. We're going to have a live band. We'll be located on Highway 188, about two blocks from Bryant High School. 9971 is the numerical. Like I said, it's going to be from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Parking will be across the street. Come out, have a good time, meet Charlie, meet the other candidates that are running the Libertarian Party. It's going to be a great time, a great day to get informed. Look, we need everybody to vote on November the 8th, but we need everybody to get informed. And what better way to get informed than have lunch and some free food? Look, I'll say it again, free. That's
free.
The key word here, free. Everybody likes free stuff,
free,
right?
Free is better than paying for it.
Right. Well, we're paying for it.
Well, from the guest point of view.
Right. Look, like I said, live music, bring a chair, bring a blanket. It's a family event. We'll have classic cars there. Come take your picture in an old cop car, and who knows, Barney Five might show up. So come out, have a good time with us.
All right. That's how, and I'm going to be out of town, unfortunately. And I hate to miss it, but man, I'm sending my crew though.
We'll do live.
All right. When we come back, we're going to pick up right here with Charlie Wyckoff for Sheriff.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Jennifer Boozer, your host. I'm here tonight with Charlie Wyckoff, who's running for sheriff, and Joe Dozier, who is his campaign coordinator. Charlie, tell us how it's going lately. Any news?
Lots of good news. We've been meeting a lot of new people, talking to a lot of new folks that didn't know that libertarians have kind of come into Alabama under a new opportunity. They put ballot candidates on the ballot up and down the whole state. And in Mobile, I'm the only, of course, libertarian running for sheriff, the oldest candidate running for sheriff. And this is a three-way race for sheriff. It's never been done that I know of in Mobile before. And right now it looks like we are in pretty good shape. We have a lot of signs getting taken down.
Oh, yeah. That happened to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been kind of a war with signs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But everything seems to be going decent for us. We're expecting to be the winner when it's all said and done. But we can't sit back on our thumbs and.
No, I have seen more signs.
Oh yeah, we've got. I'm guessing we probably this time, last election I run about 1,000 signs. This time we're up around 2,000 signs, and the difference in this one is. Really got me more excited is I've got 3,000 people have called and wanted a sign in their yard.
Wow.
And I just haven't got 3,000 signs. So
right.
Up until this week, most every sign that's gone out of the 2,000 signs has been in somebody's yard.
Nice. So, yeah, there's one of mine.
So we're not out in the streets and nailing them to telephone poles, stuff like
right,
that. Like
right, right.
Because we don't have enough.
Right.
And
I did see one very strategically placed.
We try.
Okay. It was when I went to Sergio's dad's funeral, and afterwards we went to somebody's relative's house,
mm-hmm.
way out past the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to turn right in front of where the entrance and exit to the airport are.
Yep.
And no matter if you're entering or exiting, Charlie Wyckoff for sheriff is right there. I was like, I'll be danged. That's a good spot.
Well, something else that we have that the other candidates don't have is we've got 6 antique cars, a paddy wagon. And
right. You know, yeah. Every time I see you, you're driving some other old car. Yeah.
So, I mean, we get a lot of attention from that. And when people come up to us, then we try to help them understand what's going on with the political system in especially in Alabama, it's happening all over the country, but
right.
especially in Alabama, what we've seen over the course of all these years, and this is really important, we have had for a lot of years now one party on the ballot when there is a two-party system in the state.
Right.
So we're running a lot of guys on that one party unopposed.
Right.
This time, those guys didn't get that free ride.
Right.
Because we end up with...
And they shouldn't.
They shouldn't be. I mean,
there's got to be at least two dudes in every category that need to run.
Right. I mean, at least have an opposer in
right.
there. Because that helps get messages out from one candidate.
Well, you don't even need a platform if you don't have an
That's
opponent.
Right. They don't even come out.
You
to
don't
speak.
Have to make campaign no. promises.
Right.
And
you don't have to show up.
No
for
one
nothing.
Holds you right. to your word right. or does oppo right. research right. or any right. of that stuff, which, well, man.
So that's one of the things I'm trying to do now with Joe being the chairman of the Libertarian Party now.
That, right. That's a new thing,
right.
too.
So we have a opportunity now to explode in Mobile with a lot of people because Mobile. Is down to the point of we're voting with somewhere between 20% and 30% of the registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 70% and 80% of registered voters not even showing up.
Because
they're frustrated.
And then there's the unregistered.
And yeah, and then you got another 50,000 or so that's unregistered. So right now we got a chance to be able to, like I said, run opposals on every candidate that didn't have an opposer. So
right.
Hopefully we'll see some things come of that, because, again, if we can change the system a little bit, because if you don't change something, then you're going to keep getting the same result.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
That's the definition of insanity.
That's it. And that's what we've been doing.
Tell me what you think about this, because that it shocks me that only 20 to 30% of the registered voters are actually voting. And then you have the unregistered voters. Do you think, because the first thought that comes to mind when I think, why is that? But the first thing that comes to mind to me, from my experience dealing with my interaction with people from other states in the cannabis industry, no one wanting to bother to come in and help Alabama. And now that we've passed our bill ourselves and have a medical program to implement, now they're coming out of the woodwork to come and take the spoils of our labor.
Right. Right.
But that's because no one had any faith in Alabamians deciding to do something different.
Right.
Do you think it's sort of a defeatist position that we sort of adopted, especially in a place like Mobile? Because I don't know. I sometimes I think nobody in Mobile wants to try anything.
Well,
or stand up for anything or do anything beyond a little chili cookout here and there.
Well, it's like right now with what we keep talking about, accountability.
Right.
Right now, I talked to a guy. I was on another radio program earlier today, and the conversation come up about the accountability stuff. And I said, you tell me who you know that knows where all the money's going and where all the money's coming from, both in the department and in the campaigns.
Right.
I mean, I see it because I go on a computer pretty regular to see what the other guys
and
are.
And it's public information.
Yeah, if they just go to alabamavotes.gov.
We're not finding out insider information and spilling some tea here.
No,
this is open to the public.
Right. Go to alabamavotes.gov. And this is neat because I use this in my, you know, getting to where I am now, trying to get signatures to get on the ballot. I put it out there. I said, you need to go and look at these other candidates and see where they're getting their money from and where they're spending their money. And I said, it'll show you some things that are taking place that most people don't realize. And some lady come on there wanting to be a smart aleck.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I did what you said do, and I saw where the other candidate has 33 years experience and you have none. I said, well, I know you're a liar right now because that information is not in there. This is money.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, some of the stuff that goes on, people don't realize, and if they're not careful, they open their mouth.
That's what we call a troll.
That is.
She probably works for somebody on the campaign and is assigned to listen to everything you say.
Right.
Yeah, that's a sign snatcher right there. Yeah.
But this, and that's why I said earlier, I've got a whole lot more peace with this race than I had last time.
Right.
Because the last time, I didn't know what I was getting into.
Right.
And it was like stepping into a fire.
Well, even when you know you're walking into a treacherous situation, not having any idea what to expect is what makes it torturous. Knowing what to expect, even though it can always get hairy, but knowing what you're up against, that you're gonna what you're gonna face, it helps you face it.
Well,
you know, that fear of the unknown is... You're afraid to take a step in it. That's where I'm at a lot of times with my business. Mm-hmm. And navigating all these shifts in the economy and shifts in everything, it's like I'm afraid to take a step because I don't know. I can't see where I'm putting my foot. But when you can see, at least you can see the potholes, you know how to avoid them. Yeah, it might get hard, but at least you know what you're facing.
Well, it's like I deal with the Marine Corps League.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys got PTSD and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell them, I said, everybody's got PTSD from something.
Right. There's always on some level. Right. We're human.
Right. But like I told, this was just yesterday, in fact. I was talking to one of the Marine Corps at the church, and I was saying, you went to boot camp, didn't you? And he said, yes. Went so many weeks and whatever, and he learned how to shoot and do different things like that. I said, was you prepared when you got to Iraq? And he said, well, I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so what happened was when you got there, evidently somebody didn't explain to you ahead of time all these things that you would run into. I said, now, can you help somebody know what they would run into?
Right.
And that's one of the problems we have with all this stuff. We got a lot of politicians that are in office right now that could help a lot of people, but they want to keep it choked down to where they allow only so many, you know, certain people to get in, and I always use the word that they can control.
Right.
So that's where our politics is getting so far off base now, is because we got so many guys that they're being trained or indoctrinated
right
into a to a scheme is what it amounts to, where
right.
where your dollar is now worth less than 70 cents, right?
Right.
I mean, 70 cents of your dollar going to taxes right off the bat. So how are you able to run your business and
right.
you got to charge more and everything just keeps expanding.
Right, and it all rolls right. downhill.
Right. So now we're trying to do something different. That's where I come into the whole picture running for sheriff. We'll do a lot of things different. And this other group, they've learned to push against the Constitution. I fight for the Constitution.
Right. Well, and as much as we've talked about, you know, all of this discretionary money, if it were actually going back into the sheriff's department to make it more efficient, to make it more accountable, can you even, I mean, I'm sure you've imagined what you could do with that.
Absolutely.
If you had that kind of budget and it 100% of it went back into improving the situation, whether that be with Metro, whether that be with dash cams, body cams, all these things that increase our ability to be to hold law enforcement accountable and to provide for the safety. Because if something does go wrong, people do stupid things. They fight in an arrest, and you have to use force. And people, you know, accidents happen. You know, if you had a real view of what was going on in the moment, could hear the words, could see people's body language, facial expressions, and their actual, the whole encounter, then so there would be so much less confusion, I think, between the community and law enforcement, which would make the law enforcement officer's job safer.
Safer, easier. Transparency right. is that word.
Right. Yes.
To be being
completely transparent.
So I said the same thing about the money.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be transparent across the board for everything.
Right. Right. Right, and the money allows you to be able to implement those things as the money comes
right.
instead of God knows where it's going, and I'm sure we do know where some of it's going, but, you know, I mean, to be able to know that whoever's in charge is using the money to help the citizens.
Help the citizens, the taxpayers.
Right, right. Because people do dumb things and go to jail and go to court, and they have encounters with law enforcement. Like me, I've had lots of encounters with law enforcement because of people committing crimes, and there still should be a measure of accountability. You know, when you have police walking around inside of my business in the middle of the night unchecked, you know, I want to know what's going on. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Charlie Wyckoff for Sheriff. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Sweet Home Canabama. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner of Canabama, the CBD store here in downtown. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. And you can find us at canabama.com. Tonight we're talking to Charlie Wyckoff, who is running for sheriff of Mobile County, and Joe Dozier, his campaign coordinator, and the chair, the newly crowned chair of the Mobile chapter of the Libertarian Party of Alabama. Let's talk. We've been sort of hitting back and forth about accountability. Let's talk campaign contributions. You have some interesting information about the other candidates and yourself. Let's talk about money.
Well, and I say this to anybody, that to run a successful campaign, it takes money. Now, it shouldn't take $1 million.
Right.
But it does take a certain amount of money for, you know, whether it be a commercial or postcards or billboard sign or whatever.
Right.
Depends on how much you...
T-shirts, can, yard signs, buttons, bumper stickers.
I mean, you got to spend
stickers.
A certain amount of money to get name recognition, unless you already got it.
Right.
But
and that's because you did a thorough job on spending the first time around.
Right, right. Yeah, if you went back to what I spent the first time, I mean, we probably spent in the $30,000, $40,000 range mm-hmm. while the current sheriff at that time spent probably about 60 or so thousand of his own mm-hmm. campaign contributions. This go around, it's been completely different. This has been so unique. This one here, we were already prepared to run because we kept a lot of stuff from the last campaign. We didn't date anything.
Right.
So we were prepared to do this, what we're doing now, and we came out with a lot of stuff that was already paid for from the first campaign.
That's nice.
So that did. That helped me a lot. And then since then, we've picked up a few things. And so most of my campaign is self-funded.
Right.
We've got a few folks that have given us a small contributions to the campaign or whatever.
Right.
It would be nice to have 10,000. In fact, I had a guy talk to me the other day. He said, well, why aren't you doing such and such? I said, well, it costs a lot of money. He said, well, why don't you have that? And I said, would you be willing to give me a $10,000 donation? He said, man, I can't do that. I said, that's why, because my friends don't have $10,000.
Right. So,
but we run.
We regular folk.
Right. But if you are like we are running campaigns, because I know we all look at each other's campaign finances, stuff like that. And in me looking at campaign finances, I started seeing right off the bat. I mean, this was early on in the campaign that one of the other candidates in the first 3 months had $100,000+. And I kept watching it, and he was getting $10,000 hits from individuals.
Hmm.
And I started looking at who the individuals were and stuff like that. Well, today he's over $300,000+ in campaign donations.
300?
Over 300. And wow. Probably, and that's reported.
Right.
There's no telling what other things are going on.
Right.
Because you're not supposed to be able to use the county car to go to events, and there's a lot of other stuff that we don't see and may not ever see.
Right.
But the dollars and cents are there. It is on record. It is publicly on record. You can go to alabamavotes.gov, you go down the list, and you'll find campaign donations and campaign expenditures, and you can see who donated and where those donations get spent to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really little interesting things. I want Joe to show the numbers or talk about the numbers and stuff and some of where it comes from. But one of the interesting things is a lot of people don't think about, if I gave my campaign a $10,000 loan, at mm-hmm. the end of the campaign, if I've got $100,000, $200,000 left over, I can actually write my $10,000 back to me plus interest.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make money off of...
Right. Well, I can do that with my business,
right.
You know.
Well,
if campaigning,
that sounds a little bit leftist or a little bit
right,
sketchy.
Right.
To make money off of your campaign.
Well, of course, but at least pay yourself back if you had it.
If you had it. But see, the problem what I got with that is if I'm not going to put something into the hunt.
Well, of course.
Right, more than whatever.
Besides the blood, sweat, and tears and radio hours.
Right. Well, I put the hours in and the money.
Right.
I'm backing myself because I don't. And you can ask Joe or anybody else. I don't ask anybody for money.
Right. You don't. You don't.
I mean, if people want to donate, I accept it humbly.
In fact, your wife and you paid for my dinner when I went to one of your things.
Right.
I got a free dinner.
That was cool, wasn't it?
It was supposed to be Dutch, but they paid for my dinner anyway.
Well, and again, some of that, I appreciate so much people doing stuff for me. And it's almost,
right.
It's almost awkward to me to accept things.
I understand that.
I've been taken good care of financially and all,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much, I mean, I stay debt-free. I mean, if I buy something, I might finance it for a short period of time for business.
Right.
But I've already got it figured out how I'm going to pay for it.
Well, what you're saying is you've been successful not only as a business owner at earning money, but you're also a good money manager, which is going to be important to this job.
Right. Well, that's one of the things I'd like Joe to talk about, because like I said, he took some numbers that I gave him to show him where things were going, and he saw something that I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And once you see it, you go, wow, there's something interesting here. So,
right. Yeah. So Joe, tell us what you got.
Well, this stuff, like Charlie said a minute ago, is public information. This isn't hearsay. And so let's debunk that right off the bat. Like I said, you can find it at alabamavotes.com. And campaign contributions. Now, Charlie was stating that the competitor has over $300,000. And I did some numbers as of July the 1st of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is now 3 months ago.
Yeah, correct. And I got the flipping through campaign contribution donation sheets from the competitor. And, man, I was very alarmed at the things I seen. And we seen that there's $46,406.40 of campaign contributions outside of Mobile County. Now,
Where are they coming from?
Well, you know, it's funny.
$46,000 is above what they consider a year's salary, like poverty level. That's something what some people make a year.
Right. So, you know, you ask where they come from. They come from a variety of places ranging from four different states.
Why would four people in four different states care one iota about the Mobile County Sheriff's Office?
Well, you know, they range from Kentucky, Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi.
Hmm.
And my question is, and nobody can answer, are these people, like, for instance, let's say...
One of the things that I would have first thought was it would be family members.
Right.
You know, my papa or...
Right, yeah, my mama and my sisters are in Louisiana. Right.
I thought that. But when you start seeing the names...
Well, like a name here, Alabama Builders Political Action Committee of Montgomery. It's a $1,000 donation.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started really looking at these names and seeing these law firms starting to pop up across the bay.
Law firms?
And Baldwin County.
From Baldwin County?
Yeah.
Why do they care about the Mobile Sheriff's Department?
I don't know, but...
I mean, I know we're neighbors, but they're completely different entities.
They are, but we have all Alabama Manufactured Housing Institute of Montgomery. So when I see names like this, it makes me wonder... So I did a little drive walk one night.
Housing, really?
I went downtown and got to walking around and looking at all the building that's going on around the jail. And I called Charlie. I said, hey, we need to go downtown one afternoon. So we did. And it makes me wonder, are any of these people on this contribution list builders? Are they the ones building mm-hmm. this add-on? Are they concrete laborers? Are they plumbers? Are they the electricians? Are they tied in? Is there a reason why somebody from Kentucky's donating or Montgomery or Florida? You know, I got one that'll blow your mind. It jumps out at me. Marco's Pizza of Biloxi.
That's a good pizza.
It is a good pizza, but why in the world? I guess they're delivering from Biloxi down to Metro.
Sure.
What in the world? Who even eats Marco's Pizza?
I do when I go over there.
I don't. I'm saying that's crazy.
It is a really good pizza.
But, well, I'm sure it is. But
I mean, it only cost the deputy, two hours?
I could see if it was Papa John's.
Right.
You know, and Shaq was sending you a $10,000 check. Who is Marco? Why does he care? Yeah. Why Biloxi? Oh, my goodness.
Hey.
That's freaky.
These are questions that we don't have answers to, and this is what we're trying to bring accountability, and we're trying to bring knowledge to the citizen of what's really going on behind the closed doors.
Right.
Now, it took some time to go through and single these out, because when you have, at that time, I believe it was $286,000 of campaign contributions, okay?
Right.
That's a lot of
money
to go through to get a...
Especially if it's $5,000 or $1,000 apiece. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, there's some on here for $250,000, $500,000, $1,000, $5,000.
So there's pages and pages of this.
Hey, look, yeah. My mama gave me a donation last week. I think it was $10.
Did she? Hey. Oh, I mean, that's so sweet.
Well, that's like $1,000 to her.
Well, of course it is.
That's 2 yard signs.
At least, yeah.
That's 2 yard signs.
Well, they stole one of her yard signs.
Well.
Somebody did. I don't know. I can't say they, but somebody did. Somehow that sign went down the road somewhere else.
Well, that's so sweet, though. How old is your mom?
84.
Oh.
Well, that's why we're trying to bring accountability.
Yeah.
Because things like this, but, you know, like Charlie was saying earlier, after the campaign's over, what happens to this money?
Well, that's true.
Does it go in someone's pocket?
Because if you're competing against someone who's got almost no contributions to speak of. You got a couple thousand dollars max, maybe. Would you say you've gotten at least $2,000?
I may have 2,000. I've probably less than 2,000.
The rest has come from Charlie Wyckoff's personal bank.
Yeah.
You know what I just thought about? You know where this money will probably go?
No.
It'll probably go to pay for PPP loans.
Could do that.
Well, there's a one way to segue.
If you got to pay back a loan. Right?
If you got to pay it back. And
Ryan, because most of them are forgiven. Now, I have one that's forgiven. Yeah. And the second one is in the process.
I've seen at least four or five people now that they have, you can go ahead, they have, pled guilty.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Wait, hold that thought. When we come back from the break, we're going to open a real can of worms with Charlie Wyckoff and Joe Dozier. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of Sweet Home Canabama tonight. We're talking to Charlie Wyckoff, who is running for sheriff in Mobile County, and Joe Dozier, who is his campaign coordinator and the chair of the Mobile chapter of the Libertarian Party of Alabama. So, Joe, you brought up the PPP subject at the end of the last segment. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean a couple of different things by the PPP statement I made in the last segment. So, some people may not know that the competitor's wife, him, family, however you want to put it, they own a private security company. So imagine that, right?
Right.
And there were some questionable PPP loans for some businesses. And one of those businesses was called Baldwin Investigative Group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say that again. Baldwin Investigative Group.
Meaning Baldwin County.
Correct.
Right.
And it looks like there was a PPP loan for $115,000.
They must have a lot of employees.
Maybe. Who knows? But the funny thing about it was, and I might be wrong, but wasn't COVID in 2020, 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I got my first PPP in May of 2020 and my second in February of 21.
Well, I hope everybody's sitting down because that business was dissolved in 2016.
How is that even possible?
Well, from the article that was released in a local paper this week, it was the bank's fault.
Oh, the bank messed it up. Gave them free money?
Said they
entered the
wrong.
I'm sure it got forgiven, right?
Well,
so it literally may be free money.
We don't know.
Wow.
We really don't know. This is something that's...
Well, there's no investigators on it that we know of.
One's suspicious of
us.
But us. Well, we're just the only ones.
Well, and I got to say this, too. The paper that came out with that, they made a statement that the other two candidates were complaining. Well, I never did complain. It was the newspaper that contacted me and asked me some questions about PPP loans.
Ah, so somebody else figured it out and just brought the subject to your attention.
Right. Somebody told them about it. And so when I just asked a couple of questions, I said, it's kind of interesting to me that we got a lot of these guys that have took PPP loans, and they're now filing pleading guilty to falsifying records and stuff like that. Well, then this one popped up with the other candidate that it might be a falsifying
right. I mean,
government.
That's a stretch.
Oh, yeah.
That's a 4 to 5 year stretch of time that, hey, oh, we went out of business 5 years ago, but
we
got,
bank's fault.
You know,
but
35
wait, I'm not
employees.
Done. Oh, but wait, there's more. I'm
oh,
not done.
Okay, okay. I'm already starting, like, my body temperature's rising and
teasing.
My heart's starting to beat hard. I'm getting mad.
That was the promo.
Wow.
All right. So there's another company. Executive Guard Service. Now, like I said, it is owned by the candidate that's currently employed with the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is what they're claiming.
Mm-hmm.
And they got $150,000, okay?
So that's a total of $265,000 for two different companies.
For the same family.
Owned by the same couple.
Yes.
Wife or husband.
Yes.
Correct.
What's yours is mine, vice versa.
Well, and I'm going to repeat verbatim what the paper said.
Go ahead.
Are actually the same loan according to the information. Okay.
Wait, what?
That's what it says. Are actually the same loan according to the information. So what they're claiming is one is for Baldwin Investigation Group and one for Executive Guard Service. But then it says are actually the same loan.
How's that possible? That's impossible.
Your
one company gets an EIN. There's no other information. Your EIN is the designator there.
Mm.
Because it was for me.
It says, however,
I couldn't get an SBA EIDL or PPP and use that money to pay for another business.
No,
right.
That's against the rules.
Right, but it says, however, the loan amounts are different. The initial Baldwin Investigation Group loan approved in April of 2020 was for $115,63, while the Executive Guard loan approved in February 21. Was for 150. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I got a, and that's the PPP.
Right.
I didn't get near that much for PPP.
Man, I need to know what bank they bank with, so maybe they can mess up and.
Right. I'd love for my bank to mess up my stuff, but they're very good at their jobs. Well, they never mess it up. And if I accidentally mess up, I still pay that little fee.
Well, I know we were talking before the show a little bit, and you said that you had to fill all your stuff out.
I worked with someone at the bank. We back and forth through email and phone conversations, filled out all the paperwork together. It took me a while to find somebody because so many banks don't want to deal with me on any level because of the nature of my business.
But you didn't give them the wrong EIN number.
But no, I only have one EIN number, and that's not true. I have a few now. But at the time.
Now we're going to start investigating you.
Right, no.
Well, Birch made a comment.
She tells you everything.
I do. I tell people stuff that's not even good to tell.
That's what happens to me.
That's what happens when you're just used to being honest. Hey, it is what it is. Look, when I meet with an investor, you know, and somebody asked me the other day, I met with some investors about this medical dispensary thing, and you know, we've had some rough financial years, and I'm like, that's the first thing I tell them is, here's the situation where I'm at with this business and this company, and you know, here's all the bad stuff up front.
Mm.
Now here's all the stuff I could do,
if
I had some money, right? You know, and if people would stop, you know, declaring the world is going to end tomorrow and shutting us down. If we could just do business and they would stop raising interest rates and gas prices and the price of bacon, you know?
Right.
So, DoorDash is calling me. My daughter obviously isn't picking up her phone.
A pizza from Biloxi.
And maybe it's a pizza from Biloxi.
They heard us talking.
Right.
But when he was confronted about the issue, all he stated was it was corrected and pointed the press to the direction of his attorney.
Does that mean he paid the money back?
You know, he just
that's says, only corrected. I'm interested in.
He just said it was fixed and pointed everybody to
because there's plenty of people that are headed to jail. Do y'all remember the lady from Saraland that was filling out PPP applications on companies that didn't exist for people that were in prison? Well, what do they care? They're already there.
Right.
It was over $1 million in PPP loans that she applied for fraudulently. You know, they're going to have to go after these people. But then again, like we said, who goes after the sheriff? You know, who goes after the sheriff?
Well,
no one.
While his attorney didn't comment or return press calls, guess who stepped
Shocker.
Up? Guess who stepped up to the plate?
Who?
Anybody got a wild guess?
I don't even want to know now.
Sheriff's office.
Oh, of course, because he's an employee of them, right?
Yes, he is. The sheriff's office let a reporter look at documents related to the PPP loan. Why in the world?
And yet the article was still published.
Why in the world did the sheriff's department have that information?
Right. What in the world does the sheriff's department have records for a privately owned company of one of their employees?
I bet I know why.
Why?
I mean, light bulb just went off.
Oh, no.
What?
Because this group of private security company owner, family, whatever, guess what they employee?
That's right.
As employees.
Yep.
I bet they're contracted out for the sheriff's department.
Hey, you want a chicken dinner?
And I haven't even had lunch.
You are absolutely correct.
All right. So, yeah, it behooves the sheriff's department then to help cover up anything like that.
Right. So how is it fair for independent, let's just say, Bay Security?
Right.
You know, they have to have cars, they have to have insurance, they have to have trained security guards, guns.
Insurance.
Uniforms and stuff like this.
Right.
So they're out of pocket right off the bat. But you've got a guy that's working at the sheriff's office, that's in private security, him and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says it's his wife, but you're telling me you don't have nothing to do with it?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're a law enforcement officer?
Right. But so what he does is he goes to deputies and says, hey, do you want to work? Or he gets someone to
work. Right, because they're easier.
Office.
They
right.
don't have to train them. It's,
but
yeah.
Here's the issue with that. He gets them. They say, yeah, we'll work. They're off, okay? But guess who's paying for it? You and I as a taxpayer. Because they're using county cars. They're using county guns. They're using county uniforms to work
county
a
gasoline.
Side job at a county-owned facility.
Right.
The food stamp office, Social Security office.
Right. Right.
They're working for Executive Guard Service.
Right.
So how is that another conflict of interest?
And it goes back to the issue of accountability. Charlie, before we have to close, tell us where they can look for that information on the campaign contributions.
AlabamaVotes.gov.
And you guys can find information about Charlie at WyckoffSheriff.com.
WyckoffSheriff.com, or easier than trying to spell Wyckoff, TheNewSheriff.com.
TheNewSheriff.com. That sounds good. I like that. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Joe, for being with us tonight. From Kanabama, we wish you a good night. We'll see you next week on Sweet Home Kanabama.